Welcome to today's Middle Level Educator, a podcast from National Middle School Association. In today's episode, NMSA Assistant Executive Director Jack Birkmeyer joins Judith Bannon, editor of NMSA's Family Connections and a member of the Site-Based Services Speakers Cadre, for a conversation on the single-sex classroom and why it has become such a big issue.
Hey, first of all, Judith, thanks so much for taking some time and talking a little bit about single-sex classrooms. I'm actually fascinated by this, and I'll be honest with the people listening to the podcast. My expertise is not I don't know much about this. I know that schools are trying it, and I know that there's some success and there's some issues and stuff. But I would love for us to just kind of talk a little bit about, first of all, how did the whole single-sex classrooms kind of start?
Well, I'm not sure about the total history, but as we talk about single-sex classrooms in public schools, sometimes schools started these single-sex classrooms for a social reason. They realized that some girls and boys learned better in the middle grades program in single-sex classrooms because they weren't quite a distraction to each other as they are when they're in mixed classrooms. So they weren't educational reasons at all. They were social reasons, and schools found this successful, having the boys in a single classroom and the girls in a single classroom. And that was one of the reasons. Of course, there was some research in the late 80s and 90s about girls and boys learning differently, and we can talk about that later. But there were also some classrooms with that view, particularly mathematics classrooms in the middle grades programs, and also in some lower grade programs and upper grades programs. But the big reason in many public schools tended to be social reasons with a little bit of academic reasons added on.
You know, it was interesting because I think you're absolutely right that what I had heard is that, especially in math and science, where you had in the past, that was a very male-dominated subject. And what they were finding is that in a classroom, that sometimes girls weren't participating or weren't answering questions or weren't able to take the lead on many things in math and science because they were dominated by the boys in the classroom. Is that part of the trend too? So that girls felt more comfortable being able to ask questions, especially in the math and science areas?
Well, and that is still a reason to have a single-sex classroom. Girls and boys do feel better taught, particularly in the middle grades program, do feel more comfortable talking in a group of their peers, particularly their same gender peers, than they do in a mixed gender. We think it's perhaps just girls who are edgy about talking in front of boys, but that isn't always the case. Sometimes boys are edgy about talking in front of girls. Also, we know that in a verbally based classroom, girls have a bigger opportunity. For instance, in language arts or social studies, which what I would call verbally based classrooms, girls have a bigger opportunity because they tend to be more verbal, particularly in the middle grades. In a non-verbally based classroom, such as science and math, which you mentioned, boys have an advantage because there's not so much conversation going on around the activity happening in the classroom, and so boys have an advantage. That would be a reason why schools would have made the math and science classrooms, in particular, single-sex classrooms. But then the thought should be, then why not social studies and language arts, which favor the girls?
You know, and it's interesting. I'm curious, do you think teachers are changing their teaching strategies with the single-sex classrooms?
No, but I wish that would be the thrust of this conversation. You know, for any of us who teach in middle grades programs or who understand 10 to 15-year-olds, every student should have an advantage, not just girl students, not just boy students, not just smart students, not just disadvantaged students. And the truth is, constant research seems to indicate that although teachers know a lot about the ways boys and girls learn and the different ways that they learn, they still find it very difficult to use their knowledge in a regular classroom. And so verbally based classrooms continue to be verbally based, and boys tend to be biased against in those types of classrooms. And in the task-oriented classrooms, girls tend to be biased against. Teachers really haven't taken to heart what we know. And it's confusing to me because I wonder how much emphasis the administrators are putting on this to give teachers an opportunity to try and try again using some of the techniques that we know work for both gender students.
And it's funny because, like I said, I've really only witnessed one classroom that was a single-sex classroom. And what I found was is that the teachers were saying that, yeah, you know, when I have the boys, I can actually do some things that are, you know, if I can get them to build and create, they do great things. But when I get the girls together, I tend to put them into groups to solve problems in a, you know, to chat it out, to talk it out, to solve it out. And so I did see some teachers trying to modify their teaching abilities based on males and females. But I think the problem is there's really no one right answer. And when you do that, are you depriving the one sex of something that's a great task? In other words, okay, I'm not going to do anything project-based with the girls. All that's going to be talking and conversing and solving problems, and the boys aren't going to work in groups. They're just going to build and destroy or whatever it is. Isn't that like a disadvantage to kids sometimes too?
Well, sure. The good teacher is mixing up everything in the classroom every day. And we know that just about, we've learned that through learning styles. We know that the good teacher understands that students in his or her classroom have many different learning styles, and they try to honor each learning style at least a little bit every week, if not every day. But that's difficult for teachers who, for the most part, still teach the way they were taught and, what we again know from research, still teach according to their own personal learning style. Well, if their personal learning style tends to be more toward group learning, girls tend to learn, as you said, more in groups. They like to converse. They like to process through talking. Boys actually can learn better in rows. They like that sense of competition. That works better for them. And by the way, it's not all boys and all girls either. Gender learning differences are on the same bell curve as anything else. So you have boys and girls at both ends who learn very differently. So a good classroom teacher is mixing all of the different learning styles and the gender learning styles as often as he or she can. But it's a challenge to do when you're also trying to follow the curriculum, match No Child Left Behind, meet the test goals, and so forth.
The other question that kind of popped into my head when you were talking was, you know, let's say I am a school administrator and I am thinking about single-sex classrooms. What advice would you give them as far as things to think about before you even attempt it, or what might be the positives or the negatives about it?
Well, I think you have to go back to the very first question you asked, which is, why would somebody do this? Why would a school do this? If the school is doing it for social reasons, where they understand that girls and boys can have more authentic conversations in single-sex classrooms, and they are willing to take higher risks academically, then I would think that would form a group of teachers who would be willing to teach in single-sex classrooms with those understandings. This is to provide an opportunity for more authentic conversations and higher academic risk. It's not an opportunity to just put kids in groups the whole time, or just put kids in rows the whole time, or to learn competitively or cooperatively. We all need to learn in different learning styles and approach different learning styles, but it does provide for better conversations and higher risks. So the teacher's goal should be to provide those conversations both amongst boys and girls and the higher risks. If it's to achieve, to format higher achievement in those classrooms, then I think the research has to go a little bit deeper and to understand learning styles and brain-based learning. You know, for a long time, we talked about boys and girls being left brain and right brain, and as we know, that's now, you know, been somewhat disproven, that most good learners are whole-brained. But we still know that girls and boys learn differently in different environments. And so the teacher has to be able to provide that environment. So that has to be part of the research too.
Well, first of all, thank you so much in acknowledging. I was worried because I had been called half-brained. So I'm good to know now that I'm actually have a whole brain up there. You know, I think of it, you know, for me, when I was in middle school, you know, I was your typical undiagnosed ADD kid. You know, the way that my teachers dealt with my ADD is, you know, I went to a farm school. They made me run the goalposts. you know, they'd say, Jack, go out and run the goalposts. And I would literally run the football field back and forth twice, come back in, sit down, and be refocused. You know, I mean, you know, I missed curriculum, but I had good track and field times. But, you know, but the point is that.
But also what a great advantage for those other students left in the classroom because the teacher could finally teach them when you were outside.
Exactly. That's probably true. You know, but the point is, I was trying to think for someone like me, you know, I love the socialization of, you know, not only having, you know, males and females in the classroom. That's what made it kind of nice, you know, and especially I think adolescents. I'm curious what adolescents think of this. Is I guess where I'm going with this question is that, you know, do they like, well, I'm sure they love having the opposite sex in the room. I mean, that's one of the incentives to come to school. Anything you know of about, out there about how kids are feeling about some of this, or what would you think their reaction might be?
Well, as we talked about before the podcast started, there hasn't been a lot of research yet on single-sex classrooms. There has been research over the years on single-sex schools, and which is a very different picture. But what they found in single-sex schools is achievement levels are about the same, but self-esteem levels are higher. So there tend to, again, be social reasons for the single-sex schools to further them as opposed to academic reasons. Also, boys and girls, again, will take higher risks in a single-sex situation. But the little that I have read when students have been interviewed who go into single-sex classrooms is that they, as a matter of fact, like it, as long as there are opportunities for socialization someplace else in the school day, which can happen in the cafeteria, happens perhaps in the PE class, it happens before and after school. So they don't want to miss this opportunity to mix with kids of other genders, but they do, as a matter of fact, like the comfort level that they experience in a single-sex classroom.
Are there any negatives out there that you've heard of, you know, where people have said, you know, we've tried this and the reason it failed was because of these two things? Anything that people should be aware of in regards to some of the negative aspects of single-sex classrooms? Besides, I know we talked about social issues. I know that that's one. I'm curious if there's something else out there.
Again, there's been not a lot of research on this, but I think it wouldn't work if the teachers weren't prepared for it. A teacher who teaches exactly the same way as he or she always taught but goes into a single-sex classroom is not going to be as successful as a teacher who understands the gender he or she is teaching. So preparation is going to be important. Lesson planning is going to have to change. So again, in schools, often we change things without preparing our teachers the best that we can. This never happens in business. If they're going to change to some sort of a new format or even a new technology, they spend a great deal of time training their people. Schools tend to not do this. They simply say, well, there are a few of us that think this would work next year, and so we're going to do it. So I would caution teachers and administrators to spend more time in professional development before they approach the single-sex classroom. Mm-hmm.
Any other pieces of information or anything else you want to share in regards to the single-sex classroom? Anything we missed in our conversation that is, you know, I would hate to end the podcast and then you and I chat and go, oh, I wish we'd have talked about one other component.
Well, one thing that brain research seems to be showing now is that boys don't hear as well as girls.
I'm sorry, what? I couldn't resist. Go ahead. Sorry.
Boys don't hear as well as girls. So, you know, that's something to think about in a middle grades classroom, whether it's a co-ed classroom or a single-sex classroom. Boys prefer graphic presentations of material. They tend to be, because they are hands-on or kinesthetic learners or visual learners, they want to see things presented graphically as opposed to through a long verbal explanation. So that's an opportunity for boys. Just to remember that our current classrooms, if they are co-ed classrooms, do tend to be more girl-friendly. And even a science and math classroom tends to be more girl-friendly, particularly if it is taught by a woman, because teachers, again, still tend to teach the way that they were taught and the way that they learn best. So we have to be careful that when we put people in groups and expect them to process through talking, boys will start to fool around way earlier because they don't process through talking. Girls will talk for the rest of the period. So I think there are just so many things we have to watch out for. Our goal is to provide the very best education for every single student in our classroom, whether it's a single-sex classroom or a co-ed classroom. So teachers have to be very well aware of everything happening, learning styles, and gender opportunities.
Well, Judith, thank you so much for taking some time and just talking a little bit about single-sex classrooms. As always, we thank you for everything you do for National Middle School Association. And Judith is part of our cadre of speakers. If you want more information about Judith or the National Middle School Association, you can go to our website at www.nmsa.org. Thanks, Judith.
Thank you.
NMSA has a wide variety of research and resources available for today's educator at www.nmsa.org. Thank you for joining us on today's Middle Level Educator.